Amen. As we step out, God is going to, you know, we're going to see those things happen as we step out in obedience to what God is leading us to do. So he is faithful. Amen. Okay. So as I said, we're going to be talking about living by the word of God. So Josiah, if you put up the first PowerPoint, to these two verses, we're going to talk. Nope. Skip to the next one. Okay. Yeah, skip to the next one. We'll go back to that one. Okay, that's my fault. They're out of order, apparently. Okay, Matthew 4:4 and Romans 10:17. I want to point out what these two verses have in common. So Matthew 4:4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word." That word in the Greek is rhema, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But by every rhema word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, so we need food to live, obviously, physically. But this scripture says we shall not live by only bread, but by we shall live by every rhema word that comes out of the mouth of God. A lot of people don't understand that we can live hearing the voice of God every day, hearing him speak to us through his word, through our speaking into our heart, into our mind, and hearing what he would have us to do that day. But we need to cultivate an ear to hear him, and we need to recognize when it is him speaking, because often God is speaking, but we just don't recognize it. Andrew Womack, I heard him preach, and he said, "How many times have something happened and you said after, 'I knew that I shouldn't have done that'? How do we know? Because the Bible says his sheep know his voice. Many times God is speaking to us, but we don't recognize it to be his voice, and so we dismiss it. Or God is speaking, but we say, oh, that's just coincidence. Or, oh, I'm just making that be because I heard it. Listen, God is able to make coincidence happen. He is that big. And we're going to look at that tonight through some testimonies that we're going to hear. But both of these scriptures, so then Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing. I've heard this verse all my life, that as far as people hearing the word and becoming saved, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But we need to understand this is not just for people who are being saved. This is not just salvation hearing. This is us as Christians. Faith comes when we hear God speak a rhema word to us. When we are asking God for direction, when we are asking God for wisdom, when we are asking God, what should I do? And we seek God and we get quiet before him and we get in neutral and allow him to speak. And he speaks a word. Faith will come from that, because that's something that we can stand on. And we can stand on that for a long time through anything that comes, if we will. So faith comes through that. But we need to hear the word of God. Go back to the one before that, Josiah. Rhema, in Thayer's definition, is that which is or has been uttered by the living voice. Strong says rhema is an utterance, which means a thing spoken. So, rhema, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that has been spoken by the living voice. The things that have been uttered from the voice of God to us as his people. Too often Christians live trying to figure out what they should do. When we serve an awesome God, when Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and another they won't follow." So why aren't we living in hearing God speak, go and pray for your neighbor, hearing God lead us to invite someone to church or to give to a missionary or to, you know, stop what we're doing or to stop watching something or to stop speaking something or whatever it is. God wants to speak to us. And when we begin to cultivate an ear and recognize when God is speaking, then we will realize that he wants to be intimately involved in the details of our life every day. Every day, not just the big things, but even in the little things, you know? And so God is the one who created friendship. God is the one, you know, when you talk to somebody, the more that you talk to them, the closer that you get to them. The more that you involve them in your life, the closer that you get, the less that you talk to them, the further away you become. Many Christians walk far away from God because they don't talk to him and they don't hear him talking to them. And so it is hard to have a friendship with God when you never hear him speak. But he is speaking all the time. We just have to learn to recognize when he's speaking. And when he's speaking to us. So we're supposed to live by hearing God's voice. As we seek to know God by reading his word, by listening, by waiting, and by doing his will, he will speak, and then our faith will come through the things that he speaks. He will give us direction in our daily life. As we've been talking all last year, the theme was dependence. We learned to walk in dependence on God. And this is like, as you learn that, then you recognize all the things that I thought I could do on my own, that I thought that I had wisdom for because of my 41 years. I recognize that really, if I will walk in dependence on God, I can do everything better. I can raise my children better. I can respond to my husband better. I can pastor a church better. I can work better. I can do even things in my house better if I listen to God and depend on him. And so, he will give us direction. We can live by and stand on the rhema words that he gives us. The more that we look at the circumstances, however, the more that we will struggle in doubt. When God speaks, Peter asked Jesus, he said, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come. Jesus said, come. Peter stepped out onto the water and walked in the miraculous until he started looking at the wind and waves. I have no stones to throw at Peter because I have done the exact same thing. I have stepped down in faith and been like, yes, and then started looking at circumstances and started to sink into despair, into anxiety, into fear, into frustration, into anger, into all of those things. But when I take my eyes off of the circumstances and put them back on Jesus, then he begins to raise us up out of the circumstances and we begin to walk in the miraculous again. And that is how we are to live as Christians every day, all the time. We don't have to walk around in all of these other circumstances. We have a different life. We can walk in a different way because we have the Lord. Like I have lived in Philippians 4:6-7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. When I start to get anxious, the Lord brings that scripture to my mind and I go, wait, I don't have to be anxious. I can present this in prayer with thanksgiving and God, your peace will guard my heart. When I start to go, God, I don't know what to do. I think James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally. So God, I am asking you for wisdom and I am trusting that you're going to give it to me. And so we can walk in that wisdom. So there is so much instruction and truth in the Bible, but the thing is, how do we know which instruction to apply when? Because how do we know when to wait and when to move? How do we know when to fight and when to trust that God's going to fight our battles? How do we know when to speak and when to hush? That is why we need the rhema. Because the Logos has instruction. I give instructions to my children all day long. If I said to Ezra and Silas, do not go outside right now because it's late and you're about to go to bed, and they lived by that instruction only all their life, that would be crazy. They need to go outside. But there's multiple instructions that I give to my children. They need to walk in the instruction that I'm giving them now. This is why we need the rhema from God. We need to learn to hear from him so that we cannot just try to find a scripture that applies to our situation. Although I believe the Lord can speak through that. If you're dealing with fear, look up scriptures about fear. But even when you do that, as you learn to hear the voice of God, God will pinpoint often a specific one dealing with your specific situation because he is a personal, specific God. And so we need to learn to hear him. So how do you know what you're hearing is a rhema word? Put up the first PowerPoint or the next one, Josiah. The recognized repetition. So I tried to make these so we could remember them. If you don't, that's okay. But recognize repetition. Often God speaks through repetition. My mom used to always say, we learn by this verse. And I didn't know all that time that she was quoting this verse. But she would say, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Notice, it's repeated. God always does that on purpose. But she would say, we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That means as Christians, we don't get all the truth at once. It's a process of continual learning. I have been amazed in that things that all of a sudden I get a revelation for, and I'm talking to my mom, and she said to me, I'm sure at some point, your daddy has been preaching that for years. Like, I heard it multiple times by other people. And it's funny. You know, I'm like, I have got this revelation. And I've heard it multiple times. But sometimes it's line upon line, precept upon precept. And it takes a process of us learning it. So that's why it's important that we are always hearing from God, that we are filling our mind with the truth of the Word of God. Because God speaks through repetition. That's why sometimes the third time you hear something, all of a sudden it clicks. I have read Romans 10:17, I don't know how many times in my life. But the other day when I read that, I was like, all of a sudden, just this revelation. That's because God teaches us line upon line. He teaches us at church. He teaches us through our devotions. He teaches us through other people. And as God applies those layers, then he begins to reveal those things. And sometimes all of a sudden it'll click. And that's why we need to be listening to him. The Holy Spirit lays a foundation and then adds to our understanding. So that's why we need to learn to recognize repetition. Usually when God is teaching us a concept or using a particular verse to teach us or give us direction, we will hear the same verse repeated over and over and over and over. This Luke 4:18 came because over and over and over and over when we are praying, God, what do you want us to be? What do you want us to accomplish? What are you calling us to do in this community? And we kept hearing that voice, that verse, and seeing those verses. And God, that was how God speak. Take notice when that happens. Thankfully, God tells us things more than once. My mom has always said, the will of God will keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. So anytime you keep having a thought, recognize, stop and think, wait a minute, I keep having this thought that I should do this or that I should go here or that I should call this person. Recognize that that is God. Thank goodness for God's mercy, because sometimes I don't realize it's the Lord leading me to do something until I've heard it two or three times. And I go, oh, God, is that you? Is that your idea? I had that happen just this past week. The Lord kept putting it on my heart to meet with somebody. And I finally, it was like last minute, and I thought, she's working, and I don't even know if we're going to be able to get together. And so anyway, at the last minute, and sure enough, it worked out. God will begin to deal with us about things. And so we need to pay attention when you, like I said, have heard it multiple times, pay attention to that. Listen to him speaking. God is able to speak through many different ways. After all, he is the God of the universe. So I have three people that are going to share just a short example of how God has spoken to them. Because we need to understand how big God is and how he wants to speak to us in the small things. He can speak through technology. He can speak through us hearing something in our head that sounds just like it's like, who is talking to me? He can speak through other things. So Jeremy, you want to come and you want to stand up? Or you're going to come and share. If you come here, then it can be recorded. That would be good.
Or I can just give you the mic.
All right, so two quick points that you guys have to know for the story to make any sense at all. One, I am the type of person that dives in head first into the deep end with the sharks and the alligators, not afraid to tell you how it is. Possibly could be interpreted as slightly aggressive. And two, I tell really long stories, so make yourselves comfortable. So the other day, it was last Wednesday, I think, an admiral and two of his commodores called me up and they were like, hey, we want you to do this thing. And this thing isn't really important. But it was with the USS Florida, right? And so the teenagers know if you say things three times, right, then it sticks in your head. The USS Florida's whole number is 728, okay? So if I'm talking about the Florida, I'm going to say, you know, the 28 boat, the 728, something like that. So 728, that means the Florida, right? So these two commodores and this admiral, they stand there and they're like, we want you to undock the Florida. And I, in my typical aggressive statement, told them, no. I won't be your scapegoat. This isn't happening. No. And I shut the door and I walked out. Now, if any of you have been in the military, shutting the door on admirals, not necessarily a good thing. So I immediately felt bad for it, but I'm already gone, right? So I go home and I explain this to Melanie and I'm like, oh, I'm such a moron. This was such a stressful day. You wouldn't believe it. And she's like, you are dumb. And I'm, thanks, hon. I appreciate it. And so I spent the whole day saying, God, what do I do? What do I say to the Florida? What am I supposed to do? And I guess like Shannon is saying, God is able to orchestrate coincidences and stuff like that and to speak through us in anything. And Josiah, the actual first PowerPoint, if you would put it up real quick. If you guys see that, right, it says DIY, which everyone knows means do it yourself. And then when I see 728, that means Florida. So I was sitting in my truck on my way to work. I'm that far off base. So that's the base gate right there. God, what do I say to the Florida? And this license plate's in front of me and it says do it yourself, Florida. Sweet. God, I get that. That's that. I can see that. I can see the coincidence here and I can see you speaking. So that's how God spoke to me.
Amen. Okay, Miss Jean. Miss Jean's going to share.
Okay. A couple of weeks ago, I had been praying for a closer walk to God, and I never heard him so clear. I was in my kitchen cleaning, and I heard this voice that said, Jean, get on the phone and call your son Chuck. I want you to tell him that you love him and you appreciate him and you thank him for calling you every day to see that you're okay and to let you know that he loves you and let him know you appreciate him letting you vent with him. So I said, what in the world? Because there's nobody but me that lives at home and who is this talking to me? And I looked around and said, I know that's not the TV. So I went on about my business and it's come again. Jean, what did I tell you to do? I said, yeah, okay. So I said, I'm going to sit down and get the phone. And I went and got the phone, and I called Chuck, and I said, son, I had to call you. He said, what's wrong, Mama? I said, there's nothing wrong. God just told me, laid it on my heart, that he's not going to leave me alone till I call you and tell you I love you. I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me and call me. And I know I can call and vent with you, and I love you. And he said, Mama, it's okay. And he just started crying. I said, God's good. He's always on time, because you never know what a blessed feeling comes over you when you know that it's real and it's God. It's a wonderful thing.
Amen. Amen. And last, my precious daughter.
Okay, so this past week I was talking back to my parents a lot and saying a lot of negative words. Just it was just a stressful week, and I was at Dunkin' Donuts with a couple of my friends, and my phone was like off, and I turned it on, and I put my passcode in, and the first thing that came up was my Bible app. Like, I didn't touch it. It just came up, and I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to read the verse of the day. And I read the verse of the day, and it was Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So I was like, okay. So then I was like, I hear ya. And so then I went home, and I was just about to go to sleep, and my mom came in my room, and she started talking to me about words and how I needed to stop talking back and stuff like that. And I was just like, okay, I hear ya. So, yeah.
All right. So God speaks to us. He speaks through technology. He speaks as we hear his voice. He speaks through license plates, you know, God. But that's what we need to remember, is that when we are afraid, God, what if I miss you? My mom used to always say, trust God more to get through to you than you trust yourself to hear him. Because my fear would always be, God, I know that you can speak, but I'm worried the problem is going to be on my end. Like, I'm not going to be able to hear. This is the God who can put a car with a license plate in front of you and speak to you. So, but that we need to be willing to listen, and we'll get to that. So God can make coincidence happen. So another way that we can know we're hearing a rhema word, number two, is hear the Holy Spirit. Put up the hear the Holy Spirit one. The Holy Spirit will bring scriptures to your mind. John 14:26 says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit will bring things back to your mind that God has already spoken to you. And so we need to recognize that when that happens. When you are praying for direction or taking time to listen to the Holy Spirit, which should be a part of every day. then the Holy Spirit, often a verse or a part of a verse will come to your mind when you're asking God, when you're seeking Him for direction. Look it up. If you don't know where it is, if it doesn't come in on your Bible app, do a search on Google, on your computer. Many times you can just put in a little piece of a verse and it will come up, and then read the context. If you don't understand it the first time, read it again. Say, Lord, what are you saying to me? What do you want me to understand through this? Because God wants to speak to us. But just the same, I don't know about you, but if I'm talking, especially if I'm saying something important and I, you know, I'm bearing my soul and I want somebody to understand, but I can tell they're not paying attention to me, I'll stop talking. Like, I'm not going to bare my soul if you're not interested in what I have to say. So why do we not give God the same audience? Why would we not say, God, I just want to hear what you have to say. I just want to listen so that you can speak. And so we need to give God time to speak. And then we need to be willing to study the verse that He's given us and maybe sit and just say, okay, Lord, is there, you know, I've read this. I still don't understand it. Is there something else you want to say to me? And just sit in the stillness, in the quietness, because God often will speak in the stillness and in the quietness. Sometimes you'll know right away. Sometimes you'll know as you study it, God will open it up and you'll understand how it applies to you. And so often, remember, we hear God more than we realize. As we begin to recognize that it's God speaking to us, then that closeness between us and God will strengthen our relationship with God. Number three, and this is very important, counter or act in opposition to counterfeit. See, I'm trying to get things so you can remember. Counterfeit, because the enemy will lie to you, and he will even take scripture and twist it to get you to do what he wants you to do. Look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 5-7. And this is when Jesus was being tempted by the devil. And it says, then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he is quoting Psalm 91 here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The scripture actually does say that. The devil is quoting the scripture, but he's taking it out. He's twisting the meaning. He's getting Jesus to do, trying to get Jesus to do something for his own gain, for the wrong reasons. And Jesus said to him again, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. See, this is why Jesus was listening to the Father, and God gave him a rhema, a way to respond. Because here he's got scripture in front of him. The enemy is giving him scripture to do what he's being tempted to do. He needed to hear from God the rhema so that he knew how to respond. No, this is not God. We need to recognize when it's not God speaking to us. So how can we keep from being confused by the enemy? There's three ways. Number one, be dependent on the Holy Spirit and ask him for help like we've been talking. Listen, if we get out on our own and in pride, it is dangerous, because then we can start hearing what we want to hear. And humility will keep us from being so wise in our own conceit, which is what we read about in Romans 12 this morning. Do not be wise in your own opinion or in your own conceit. If we already know, like, I've got this, I already know what to do, I don't need God, I don't need to seek God. We might not ever actually say, I don't need God. But if we are wise in our own opinion, then we can end up looking that way and acting that way. So we need to be careful. So be dependent on the Holy Spirit. As we learn to become more dependent on the Holy Spirit, it becomes more of a habit to ask him for wisdom and seek to hear his voice. As we open up more of our lives to him, and this is what I've been saying, because I feel like the Lord just taught me all last year. I used to think that the closer you got to God and the longer you walked with him, the more that you just had enough knowledge to know how to respond in each situation. Like, I've got all this built up wisdom and knowledge, so now I just know how to respond in each situation. And yet what I have learned is exactly that that's not how it works. As you get closer to God, you become more dependent on him and less dependent on yourself. you more go, God, what happens is you become more surrendered. You become more willing to do His will and more desiring to hear His plan and less of you and more of Him. That's why John the Baptist didn't say, I will increase in wisdom and knowledge so that, you know, I can do what God has called me to do. He said, I must decrease, He must increase. As we walk with God, the closer that we get with Him, the less flesh, the more spirit there is. The more of Him, the less of us. And so God makes up the difference. He allows us to be who He's created us to be. That doesn't mean we all become robots, because as we walk with God, we don't all become the same personality. We all can still walk in who God has called us to be, but we are less wise in our own conceit. We are less full of our own opinion so that God can't speak to us, and we are more aware of our need for Him. And so the more that we open ourselves up and ask Him, the closer that we get to Him, the more that He's in our thoughts. So they're just, rather than going to Him on the big things, we want to hear His opinion on everything. Like, God, you know, what do you want me to do? What do you have to say about this? And it becomes habit to open ourselves and our lives up to Him. And so be dependent. Number two, read the Bible and hear the character of God. As we read God's word tuned into the Holy Spirit, He teaches us about our Father God. I have said this, but I have to say it again. Do not. Now, if it's the only way you're going to read the Bible is check a box, then do that at least. It's better than not reading at all. But do not just check a box. This is the living Word of God. So when you read it, say, Holy Spirit, teach me. Recognize that God, you can learn about God's character, about who He is, about what He wants to accomplish. And rather than just reading a story and going, oh, well, God is just mean. Say, God, why did you do that? What can I learn from this? God, what am I missing here? Because I don't understand you. I don't understand why you did it this way. I don't understand why you allowed this. And God, in His amazingness, sometimes will show you. He'll explain to you, this is why I did that. It's amazing that the God of the universe would do that, but He will, because He wants us to know Him. He wants us to walk in relationship with Him. And the last one, oh, I want to read this verse. 1 Corinthians 2:13. It says, these things we also speak. This is Paul speaking led by the Holy Spirit. Not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. When you are reading the word, if you're reading a passage of scripture and all of a sudden another passage of scripture that you heard in church or that you read a while back comes to your mind, look it up. The Holy Spirit compares spiritual things with spiritual, and you can learn another side of Him, another aspect of what He was trying to say there by comparing the scripture with the scripture. It's a really precious thing. So understand and go into the word asking God to speak to you and understanding that He wants to, and that He will, you can understand His character through being with Him. The third one, and this is very important, do not be rushed. Be careful if you are being rushed to do something. Even if you hear a scripture that's leading you, or you're thinking this seems like a good idea. Now, if you feel led to witness to somebody and the Holy Spirit says, go into all the world. I mean, that's different. But I'm saying, if you are about to make a decision and you feel just almost like, I need to do it now. I need to do it now. My mom used to always say, if you feel that, do it now, do it now, do it now, do it now. You need to back up, because that's not how the Holy Spirit works. It's not like a salesman when, you know, they're like, no, you, in order to get this deal, you have to respond in the next 30 seconds. Why do they do that? So you don't have time to think. So you just respond. God, the Holy Spirit doesn't do us like that. So when you feel that, I need to do this really quick, you need to step back. I had this happen. I was praying. I was in my prayer time, and all of a sudden this great idea came to respond in a certain way in this situation. And I was like, oh, this is a really good deal. I mean, a really good idea. I need to do this like right away. Like I need to do this immediately, like right now, because this is such a good idea and I need to do it right away. And all of a sudden I felt that, just that rush. And so I kind of took a step back and I realized, wait a minute. This goes against what God previously told me, because God had already told me one way of responding. He had already given me a rhema word about the situation and how I was to respond. And so I had to go, wait, now this is contradictory. It was a good idea in the flesh. It seemed like a nice idea, but it was contradictory to what God had already told me to do. And so I took a step back from it. I came to the church. I picked up a devotion and opened it. I didn't even read the one for the day. I just picked up a devotion. And as I started reading the Bible story, it was one of the stories that God had used and given me the rhema before and explaining to me how to respond. And I said, God, I hear you. And so I recognized, even in my prayer time, like it honestly kind of freaked me out. Like, wait, so that was the enemy during my prayer time? But what we need to understand is, rather than walk away from that with fear, like the enemy can get to me in my prayer time, look at the end result. But God got through to me last, and he helped me to respond correctly. And so ultimately, the enemy is defeated. If we will just stay surrendered and obedient and humble and listening to God, he can get through to us. Even if we start to veer, he can show us, because he's that big. He's very able. And so, the last way that we need to hear and recognize the rhema words of the Lord, and this is an illustration Jack's going to show y'all, because a picture's worth a thousand words. Be all ears, okay? You'll remember that picture. So be all ears. Don't complain that God doesn't speak to you if you do all the talking during your prayer time. This was a revelation to me a few years back. Like, I'm expecting for God to hear, for God to speak to me, but I'm the one that does all the talking. Like, if you want to hear from God, then you got to be still and be quiet and let him speak to you. Thank you, Jack. You have to take time to wait and listen. We take time for so many other less important things. We need to get quiet, and we need to be still, and we need to listen. It's very important that we understand the God of the universe will speak to us, but we have to stop talking. My husband and I joke that it's because he was raised in the youngest of a family of seven. But if you try to cut him off, usually you can't, because he'll just keep going. And I realize, like, not all the time, but a lot of times it's true. Like, we joked about it because his family, there's so many children in the family. And I think being the youngest, he just learned, like, to hear my voice, like, I'll just keep talking and somebody will hear me. And so we need to stop talking if we want to hear God speak, because that's just what we have to do. So we have to be all ears. Derek Prince, I listened to a message, it's on YouTube, called Hearing the Voice of God. I would challenge you, is a very good message. Now, he's not like charismatic. It's very kind of sedate, but it is good teaching. It is very good teaching. And three things that he says in order to hear the voice of God is, number one, you have to be patient. I'm just going to tell you, I have learned often for me, it will take up to 30 minutes of just silence for me to hear God. It was hard at first. Like, I'd be looking at my, wow, it's only been 15 minutes and I've been sitting here and my mind has already wandered a couple of times. But as I sit there and I just go, God, I just want to hear you. Your word says, wait on you and I will renew my strength. And every time I picture that word, wait, in the Hebrew, it means to bind together, perhaps by twisting. And so I picture God, as I'm sitting here in the silence, because it's not me. I can't do it. It is you. I want to hear what you have to say. And God, I need you to bind my will to yours. I need you to bind my thoughts so that I hear what you want to say. God, I want to respond like you want me to respond. And often after some time will pass, all of a sudden these thoughts will start coming. And I'm like, I just kind of wait, like, God, is that you? And the thoughts will just keep coming. But we have to get quiet. We have to get still. And that means turn off the music. It means get still and get quiet. If you have to get up early in the morning where nobody else is talking, where you don't hear anything, alone with God, and just say to God, God, I want to hear what you have to say to me, because you are that important to me. And you are that wise that instead of talking the whole time, do you know that the world, many people in the world say, I pray all the time. It's sad, because the truth is a lot of people are praying, but they're not praying the will of God. They're praying their desires and their plans and their thoughts, and they're wondering why none of their prayers are getting answered. Because it is not just that we come to God as a genie or a slot machine, and we've all heard that, but the truth is that's what prayer becomes if it is not about doing His will. If it's not, God, let me hear what your will is in this situation. God, what do you want to say to me? Prayer becomes, I put my money in, I get my, you know, response back. And that's why there are people in the world that don't have a relationship with God. They're not surrendered or submitted, but they'll tell you, I pray all the time. Right, but do you listen? Do you read what God has already said? Do you align your will with His will so that you're not praying your will, but you're praying His will? If we will get quiet, if we will allow God to speak, He will show us His plans. Then we put our hand in His hands and we say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, this is your will. So God, I'm just in agreement with your will for what you want to be done in the earth, for what you want to be done in this situation. You will start to see prayers answered if you will just get in agreement with God's will. Number two, Derek Prince says you have to be in the right place at the right time. And he shares a wonderful example of Jeremiah 18. And God said to Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. And Jeremiah went to the potter's house, and he said, as he was in the potter, watching at the potter's house, the potter was making a pot or whatever on the wheel, and it was marred in his hands. And so he remade it. And Derek Prince said, Jeremiah had to be in the right place at the right time to hear what God wanted him to hear. Why? Because there was a picture that God wanted to give him. If he could have said, God, why do I have to go to the potter's house? I can sit right here. Sometimes, like Pastor Rick said this morning, God will call you to come to the altar, and you can say, God, I can get right with you right here. I don't have to come to the altar. But sometimes you need to be in the right place at the right time. And if God is telling you to come to the altar, then no matter what you feel or think or what anybody else is going to think, you need to come to the altar. Why? Because we need to be submitted to Him, to what He is saying to us. And so be in the right place at the right time. If God wakes you up in the middle of the night, if all of a sudden you wake up for no reason, you think, why am I awake at 3 a.m? Say to God, God, is there something you want to say to me? Is there somebody that needs prayer right now? What is there a reason? I have heard God say to me, come away with me. And I said, God, I will come. What the God of the universe would say, come away with me, Shannon. He wants time with us. And He wants us to value His voice. And He wants us to come when He calls us. But that means living a surrendered life. God, if I have to lay down sleep, if I have to lay down my pride, God, I don't care what other people think. I don't care what my plans or my agenda is. God, I just want to do your will, whatever it looks like. But even beyond that, it means saying, God, I'm going to stop trying to tell you my plan, and I'm going to give you time to speak to me. And if I have to sit here for an hour and do nothing, I will sit here until you speak. And I will listen when you do speak. And God will speak to you. The last one, he said, have a humble, reverent attitude. So I want to add to that this last one, and we're going to close with the last verse. If God leads you to pray, obey. If somebody keeps coming to your mind throughout the day and you think, I just wonder what's going on with Sister Jean, stop right then and pray. Say, Lord, whatever is going on, God, whatever, and just listen, stop and listen. Rather than going on with your idea about what it might be, stop and listen and see, does God speak to you a particular way to pray? If He doesn't, pray in the Spirit, because God knows what she needs and we can pray for her in the Spirit. If you don't know, say, God, whatever is going on in her life, God, I pray that you will strengthen her. I pray that you will be with her. I pray that you will do the supernatural in her life and in her situation. Psalm 27:8 says, David said, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Now, there have been times where God has called me and I have fallen asleep, and I have been just like the disciples. And I have woken up so grieved Like, God, I cannot believe that I fell asleep on you. But you know what? God is so merciful and forgiving. He's so good to us. The disciples, Jesus came back and, I mean, they were sleeping. He didn't say, well, you're done. You can't even stay awake to pray. Like, forget the plans I had for you. I mean, he didn't say that. He forgave them. And they went on to do great things for his kingdom. God wants to be so real in our lives. And he will speak to our situations. And it is an exciting thing to walk with the Lord. I had one time, and I'm going to end with this. I had one time, I guess probably a couple of weeks ago. And I had laid back down because I had gotten up early with Jude. And I had gotten up a couple of times at night. And I had laid back down and slept for like an hour. And I woke up and I felt so guilty. Because I thought, oh, there are other things I should be doing right now. And I felt so guilty. And I immediately started to apologize. And I said, God, I am so sorry for being lazy. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. He said, I didn't call you lazy. And I thought, well, okay then. I guess that nap was okay. You know, listen, God will be involved in the details of our life. But I'm telling you, for me, often the way that it starts, us hearing the voice of God, is it starts with us hearing Scripture. That's when I first started recognizing that it was God speaking to me. And I've shared lots of times God spoke to me, and I still remember it clearly. I was a stranger and you took me in. God will speak to us the Scripture. And as we learn to walk in communion with him, then we learn to recognize his voice. And we'll know when he's speaking things. Even if it's not Scripture, we'll recognize it when it's the Holy Spirit. When you begin to feel like you're pulling out of your driveway and you're like, man, I really should go pray for that lady. That's God speaking to you. So just say, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you to help me. And I'm going to end with this story. I had a time this past week, and those of you that know me know I am not a bold person, despite the fact that I'm standing up here in front of people. I'm not a bold person by nature. And this past week, me and Janine have been praying over a particular area in our neighborhood because there's a bunch of teenagers that hang out there, and there's smoke, and there's all kind of other things that look like it's going over there that doesn't need to be going on over there. And so Janine said, we're just going to start sanctifying that park. We're just going to pray over it. And so we just would pray, both of us. We just started praying. Well, when I passed by one day, it was like all of a sudden for me, because I struggled with real anxiety about being a witness. Like just fear would just overtake me when God would ask me to witness. And so whenever all of a sudden an idea of how I can witness comes to my mind and all of a sudden the boldness comes with it, I was like, well, that's what happened. I saw those teenagers over there and all of a sudden this conversation just came and I thought, and I know it was the Holy Spirit, I will go and buy candy bars, and I will take these candy bars to these teenagers, and I will say to them, just the way that I am giving you these candy bars for free, you need to understand that salvation and a relationship with God is free to you. But if you look at me and you say, I do not want your candy bar, you have the right to do that. But do not complain and say that people say all the time, how could a loving God send people to hell? If you do not want it and you say to me, I don't want it, that's your choice. But you can't get mad at me that I didn't offer it. And so that day I had this thought I was so bold, like in my head, like, you know, I was like all ready to do this. And I came back and they were all gone, dispersed. The park was completely empty. I went, well, okay. Now the old Shannon would have been like, yes, okay, God, maybe that wasn't you. But the new Shannon was like, oh no, this is God. And I went to Dollar General and I bought 10 candy bars and I put them up in the top of my closet. And I thought, okay, the next time that those teenagers are out there, I'm going to walk myself over and I'm going to give them this spiel that the Holy Spirit gave me. So I put them up in the top of my closet a few days, didn't see anybody. And I thought, okay, in the flesh, the boldness was kind of like, I'm not sure if I'm as bold as I was in the beginning. Anyway, then this past Friday, I walked outside and I actually was busy, like Michelle said. So don't use that like I don't have time to obey God, because I actually had stuff to do and I needed to be somewhere. And I was like, Lord, I'm thinking I really don't have time for this right now. But I could hear myself like, it's going to take 3 minutes. I'm not going to preach to them. Like, it's going to take 3 minutes. And so I grabbed my candy bars. I walked myself over to those teenagers in the park. And it was funny because they were all honestly just looking at me like, what is this lady about to say to us, you know? And I walked over there with my bag of candy bars and I said, I have candy bars. Immediately the ice was broken. They all were like, really? I was like, yes. So they all come and grab a candy bar. I gave them my spiel. I told them, I said, me and my husband live right there. I said, we pastor Hidden Treasures. Anytime you want to come, we would love to have you. I said, I don't care what you wear, but do not come and sit in the back and talk. You will defeat the whole purpose of coming. But if you want to be respectful, you want to come, you want to hear. If you need prayer, you can come to my house. I will pray for you. God, that if you know me, you know that that is not me. Like, I am afraid to talk to people and I worry about what they will think about me. But when that boldness rises up and all of a sudden you have an idea that you know is not you, step out in it and let God use you. Because, you know, I know some of those teenagers. I know that some of them have some severe drama going on at their house. The last thing that they needed that day was for another adult to yell at them. And so I think, honestly, they were really surprised. I introduced myself to all of them, and I wrote them down on my phone, and I'm going to be praying for them. I told them, I will be praying for you by name. God can work through that. And so I just want to challenge you, hear the voice of God. Recognize the repetition when God is speaking to you. Hear the Holy Spirit when He is speaking. Counter the counterfeit. When the enemy tries to twist scripture, don't be afraid of the enemy. He is not more powerful than God. Your Father God is able to get through the counterfeit and to show you the truth. So trust Him that He will. That faith pleases and honors God when you go, God, I am trusting you. You know my heart. You know that I want to do your will. So I am trusting you that you're going to get through to me, that you're going to show me. You said if I would acknowledge you in all my ways, that you will direct my path. And He will do it. And be all ears. Take time. If you have never sat in the silence, you need to start this week. You need to sit in the silence and say, God, I want to hear what you have to say to me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that comes from your precious word. God calls us to walk in obedience. God, let us see the supernatural as we step out with you in obedience to your commands and allow us, God, to walk in close relationship with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.